You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
Hi, Riverside.
It's Keith, one of the leaders around this place.
Hi, Riverside. It's Susan, who usually gets to do the announcements around this place.
As you know, we're not meeting together this morning, and I love Sunday mornings. Do you like Sunday mornings?
I love Sunday mornings, too. I realize I'm staring at the microphone.
Yeah, the camera. Oh, Susan.
54.
I think Sunday mornings are great because of predictable patterns. I love the fact that no matter what happens throughout the week, we know on Sunday mornings we're going to gather as a family of faith. We can orbit our schedules around that. We know we're going to be together. Mm-hmm. I think it's just something special about that, and it's good. But also, in a season like this, it's smart to respond and just be wise. Also, our governor said any public gatherings over 250 should be ceased this weekend, so we should follow our earthly leaders as well, right?
Right. It is sad not to be gathering, though.
It is sad. But I was thinking, Susan, I wanted to give you some thoughts we have on the coronavirus and how the church can respond in a season like this. I'm reminded about something that happened in 300 AD. The church is 300 years old, and there's an emperor, Roman emperor named Julius, who hated how Christianity was growing. And Julius wanted to stop the spread of Christianity. And so he asked his advisors, you know, what's going on? Why is it spreading? And the advisor said, the Christians are loving each other so well and loving their community so well that it's just, that's why this Christianity thing is spreading. And Emperor Julian said this. He said, as a quote from him, Christianity has been specifically advanced through the loving service rendered to strangers. Mm. And through their care for the burial of the dead. And it's a scandal there's not a single Jew who's a beggar. And that the Christians care not only for their own poor, but for our poor as well. And while those who belong to us, they look in vain for the help that we as the government should render to them. And so the Roman emperor is saying...
Wow, that's amazing.
Isn't that amazing? The Roman emperor is saying, we should be providing care for the sick, but we're not the ones going to bury the dead with a plague because we don't want our people near those dead bodies. We're not going to care for those people. We're protecting mm-hmm. our own selves. And the Christians were the ones going out there to make a difference. Wow. And that's one of the main reasons that Christianity spread in the 300s because of Christians living out the gospel. And we're called to do the same, mm-hmm. right? So we have some thoughts on how we're called to do the same.
First off, we should expect stuff like the coronavirus. The world is broken. Romans chapter 8, verse 20 says, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice. And then it goes on in verse 22 to say, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. So the world, everything around us is broken and fallen.
So this should not catch us by surprise, right?
No, it still does though a lot of times.
Yeah, that's a good point. But we should expect that the creation is struggling right now, and this is an effect of that. At the same time, intertwining that passage right in the middle are some neat things about the people of God. It says this, for creation waits in eager expectation as it's groaning, as it's impacted by sin and things like the coronavirus happen. It says, for creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. In verse 21, that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. And so children of God, the church, the people of God, like creation itself is waiting for us to rise up and to be the people of God. And what a great opportunity.
What an incredible hope.
I know, but also a chance to be the people of God. And I think our hope comes from what we know the end game is for creation, right?
Right. So first, we know that brokenness happens. Things like this happen. But we also know, as believers, that sickness and death will not last forever. Hmm. In Revelation 21:4, Jesus says he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.
Wow.
We have a future hope that no matter how bad things are here, we have a future hope that can anchor us. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, for we know that the earthly tent that we live in, if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. So we literally have a different perspective and hope and posture in the world because of what we're looking forward to.
That's an amazing passage difference.
It is.
I mean, just, hey, this earthly tent will be destroyed. Everyone's going to die. But we have a different perspective because of the kingdom, because of hope.
Mm-hmm. And I love that because it says that he's going to wipe every tear from our eyes, that there are tears.
Yeah.
There are hard and sad
Absolutely.
Things that happen.
Yeah. And that future hope that we see in the scriptures and we have because of Jesus, it leads to how we live right now. In 2 Timothy 1:7, the scripture says this, "For the Spirit of God, which believers have dwelling in us, the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So no fear." Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
I mean, we can live without fear.
We can live without fear, but God also gave us a brain so that we could live wisely without fear.
It's kind of self-discipline, I think, the passage also talks about that, right? Well, what's some wisdom you would have for us right now as you think about this?
Well, one, just to know, like, no symptoms. Just be aware of what's going on around you. I'm not the greatest reader of the news, but I've been trying. Read the news, know what's going on around you. Be aware of the people around you. Who is more in a more vulnerable population.
Right. And as we think about not having a spirit of fear, being wise, but not having a spirit of fear, I'm reminded of Matthew 25. And Jesus talks about some things in Matthew 25 that, honestly, if you read the whole thing, it can be hard to read at times, too. He gives a pretty clear, direct calling to the church. For example, he says this in verse 35. "For I, Jesus, was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." And then the righteous, the people of God, the people of Jesus will answer him and go, "Lord, when did we do this? When did we see you? When did we feed you? When were you thirsty? When did we give you something to drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or see you needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me."
So it's amazing to think about how the church, this is what they were doing naturally. It wasn't like they were out, like they were surprised that he commended them for that. They were just out living the way that he wanted them to live.
They were just being the church, In fact, I got an email from a Riversider this week that I loved how he stated this. I'm just going to read. He said this, "For the church, it seems like now is a time for the church to be the church. Seniors are going to need a lot of help to get by without leaving their homes. People in hourly jobs might be short on cash if their hours are cut, or if they have to be at home to figure out what to do with kids if schools are closed. And a lot of people are just going to be isolated and scared. And what a time it is for us to be the church." And so I just thought that was an amazing thing.
Yeah, I saw someone post on Facebook this morning that she has the ability, she's single, and she can work from home. So that if any of her friends saw that and they had to go to work, but they had kids that she could manage while she worked, let her know. Yeah, she'll come over and do her work from their house.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Susan, what are some things in terms of how we interact with people and this, how we use language, how we talk about that we could be aware of, you think?
Yeah, I think that we've got to definitely avoid things like, "It's all going to be good. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine." Even on a normal day, this isn't true. We have no guarantee that the day is going to end up fine.
Right.
Or good in our sense. Everyone's going to die, and it could be today for you and I. So I can't guarantee that. These phrases might be appropriate, like for little kids,
like to help everything them be okay. From a parent to a kid,
right? So that they can go to sleep at night. But certainly, like when you're interacting with adults, you just have to be honest that these are troubling things. Mm-hmm. These are distressing things, and they're going to see people around them potentially suffer. They're going to hear through media that we're all permeated with of a lot of difficult things.
Yeah.
But the truth is that God is there with us. He offers us a hope for the future and a hope as I walk through the day to day. So, and I also think that we can't tell people you're just overreacting. You've way blown this out of proportion. But we're immersed in media and some things are blown out of proportion.
Some things are.
But that's just not helpful. It's not helpful to say you're overreacting. Can you please just calm down? Mm-hmm. But we have an opportunity, even as people are overreacting, to really see them, value them, hear their concerns, and point them to the Lord.
Yeah.
So it seems like good things that we could say, because real love changes our behavior, like the quote you read earlier. We can encourage people with hope. We can say that we're making changes, and many churches are making changes, not from self-protection, but because we have people around us that we want to care for well. We have vulnerable neighbors. We have people in our churches with compromised immune systems. We have older people in our churches, and that we should be, the strong should always be considering the weak. Mm-hmm. And that should govern the way that we live.
I agree. And so I guess as a church, I want to really encourage us. First off, let's pray. Let's really pray. Pray for governmental leaders. We're commanded to do that in scripture. So pray for President Trump. Pray for Governor Holcomb. Pray for our Mayor Mueller. Pray for Todd Cummings in the school. The school corporation have lots of wisdom. Pray for our health departments. We're called to pray for our governmental leaders. And how much more at a time like this, we should pray for them and really mm-hmm. pray for them to have wisdom. We should pray for the sick. Mm-hmm. We're obviously always called to do that. And pray for those who are at higher risk for being sick. Absolutely pray for our local healthcare workers. They are be working a lot these days. And pray for our healthcare system. And along with that, we should also be praying for the poor in our community. There are people in our community who have less access due to economics, due to being uninsured. They have less access to mm-hmm. the things that some of us have access to, just and we take it for granted, the healthcare system. So we need to pray for our poor, and probably also respond in ways that we can make sure we bring real, tangible good news to the poor. Mm-hmm. And I just pray as a church that we would, Riverside, we respond well. We love South Bend well. We'd love each other well. We would love the least of these well. And ultimately, just bring glory to God.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and as we're at home this Sunday, it's a great chance to pull out your old directory and pray for people by name. Go through and pray for people.
Yeah. And pray for your neighbors. And maybe if your neighbors are fearful mm-hmm. or short of food or something, or if they're talking about how there's no toilet paper in the world, maybe give them a roll or something. I don't know. I mean, how do we tangibly love...
But it's supposed
us.
To be nice out. You could tangibly walk around your neighborhood and encourage people idea. And pray for people.
We're, of course, on Friday, so we think it's going to be nice on Sunday when you're watching this, but we're not really sure.
Right.
Right. And also, Riverside, finally this. If you feel sick, if you're not feeling great, let us know. We want to pray for you. Our elders and our staff, we really do pray, and we want to pray for you. Mm-hmm. And if you feel isolated this season because of this decision is for this Sunday. It might be future weeks. We're following our government and what they've kind of called us to do. If you feel isolated because of this, let us know. We want to figure out how to be a family of God mm-hmm. in this season. And if you're in a home group, what a great time to be a home group together to really mm-hmm. leverage that smaller community. Because groups of 10 to 20 can do a lot more neat things in a season like this than a group of 250 people mm-hmm. gathering on a Sunday morning.
And we don't have to physically be alone all of the time.
Right, right, exactly. And so that's our thoughts this Sunday morning.
Well, actually, it's Friday morning.
It's Friday morning for Sunday morning. It's our thoughts that we just want to kind of put out there for you to kind of consider. And would you want to pray for the situation before we click the video off?
Oh, I would love to.
That'd be wonderful.
Oh, Father, thank you so much for this body that you've given us all a chance to be a part of.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, I thank you as in my mind's eye, I can picture us all together on Sunday morning, and that will be greatly missed this morning. God, I pray you'd make us wise.
Yes,
God, I pray that you would just stop the spread of the virus. I pray that you would intervene.
In the name of Jesus.
But God, I pray you'd show us practical ways that we can pray and serve and love each other and the people around us. God, I pray that you would, that we would be different, that we would be markedly different in our response and our care for each other and all of the varieties of people that you have around each of us. I pray that that would be our reputation and that we would be looking to you in trust and hope. Amen.
Amen. Love you all.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.